I get that mic, yes. And I'll give it to you when
it's
your turn.
Hare Krishna. On these functions, you see, I like to comment a little bit in between because it adds. After all, this kind of festival is a exchange of the heart, and Indrabhata is very nice. Is really a very nice gentleman who told me when he was a young boy, he would basically look after cows. He would look after cows. He had to go to the river and bring the cows. So that's not bad when you're a young boy. It sort of reminds me of another young boy. So in that way, and from the time that somehow or other our connection began, he has always said some really nice, wise things. And like today also, I'm glad you did right and that you just spoke from the heart. It's very, very nice to hear. Thank you. Then we have Raghava Chaitanya waiting faithfully. And that is Raghava Chaitanya, who is always patiently ready to serve. Let's hear what he will say.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. I am happy and grateful to be here this afternoon. At these gatherings we can chant and dance together under your direction and tune. This is indeed a rare privilege, and I very much appreciate once again that we are fortunate enough to experience the joy of celebrating one of the most auspicious events of the year in your presence. The experience of togetherness in happiness is something that we all treasure and look forward to. Sometimes we are sad that old age and ill health have to play their designated roles, but our collective faith in the Holy Name, motivated and inspired by you, helps us to cross over the temporary obstacles that punctuate our lives on our journey to eternal happiness. Thank you, Maharaj, for being that experienced and skilled boatman who effortlessly and easily helps us steer our boat over and between the thunderous and destructive waves. I wish you all the happiness we can pray for, because your wellness lies in our salvation. In your wellness lies our salvation. Hare Krishna.
Yeah, maybe all somehow or other. May everyone stay well. And of course, our well-being is in seeing that the time with the spiritual master is precious. It is a fact. One should not take these moments like casual for granted. We hear him so many times. We're living in this communication age. You know, it's different now than it used to be, when there was when a letter of Prabhupada was something extraordinary. Now, you know, how many emails did everyone receive? How many messages? How many? But every moment is very precious. Those who sit in the first row are definitely in a precarious position, and they have to sort of drift over to the side because. Can be done. Yeah.
Only up until we lost.
I don't think it will help a lot. We just have to see. We hope the rain will not drive us through some ad hoc arrangement, but it's coming in. I'll give the mic to.
I don't know.
You hit the mic there.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, thanks.
And Hare Krishna to everyone here. I was just thinking about what I could speak about, and I think my most recent experience came to mind. And I had the pleasure of getting to know some of our God family from other countries recently. And at first I thought, you know, South African devotees versus devotees overseas, we're so very different. But as the days were on, I realized we have so much more in common. And it's this common saffron thread that runs through us and connects us. And it's not just our God family, it extends to our own families and our friends. And this mercy is just going across to everyone, whether they know it or not. And I think, you know, our God family, we have a lot in common. Most of us are stubborn. We are independent. we are crazy, even though we don't like to admit it. Especially me. I think I'm quite sane. And we also, you know, sometimes we take on service, too much service, and we complain about it, but somehow we get it done. And I think it's that common saffron thread that pulls us together all the time and keeps us together. And this thread is your marriage. And I just want to say thank you so much for everything. And 65 is a nice milestone. And I just like to say we can stand up here and we can all write stories about our times with you. So much of past times and the laughter and the knowledge we've gained. But for me, my wish is that this is your time now to finish your stories. And I hope you get to finish your books. And all the best to you. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, beautiful. So we're all stubborn, is it?
I'm crazy.
Yeah. Well, I think that to be individualistic or is to be an individual is natural, and Krishna consciousness is about harnessing our personal qualities. So in that way, stubbornness can be a good quality, and I hope that we'll develop it like that, you know, to stubbornly dedicate what we have to Krishna.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. So it is said that the spiritual master is like a parent, and without the attentive service of his parents, a child cannot grow to manhood. Similarly, without the care of the spiritual master, one cannot rise to the plane of transcendental service. You are the father of so many children, and guiding and protecting us so that we may somehow take seriously to devotional service. And although you have many children in the form of your disciples, you know each one of us, and in each one of us are individuals and are different, and so you deal with us as individuals. This is what stands out for me, that you are not like a military man, but rather a father caring and nurturing for his children. Only out of the immense compassion does the personality of Godhead reveal himself as the spiritual master. And we are all part and parcel of that Supreme Lord, and therefore are his children. A father is always compassionate toward his children. You are like the Lord's personification of compassion upon us, saving us from the repeated suffering in this material world. In your dealings, there are no activities but those of transcendental loving service to the Lord. In this way, you are setting the example for all your disciples. You are the Supreme Personality of Servitor Godhead, and it is worthwhile to take shelter of such a steady devotee, who is called Ashraya Vigraha, or the manifestation or form of the Lord, of whom one must take shelter. I certainly am extremely fortunate to have you as my spiritual master, and yes, I am proud that I am your disciple. Who would not be proud of having you as their beloved father? I pray that lifetime after lifetime, I have this privilege of serving your lotus feet, Maharaj.
So Virabhadra is a very energetic person, and I hope that this energy will that you'll use it for many more years to serve Krishna and just push on this message.
Hare Krishna. Before Parajanya Prabhu and Radharaman come up, if Yadurani, Chandrasekhar, Radha, Duty, and Achyuta can just.
Krishna.
All glories to His Holiness Kadava Kandana Swami on this glorious and auspicious occasion. Please accept my humble obeisances, Maharaj. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. It is widely accepted that our Guru Maharaj is an expert administrator, teacher, preacher, and an acclaimed Kirtaniya. Maharaj's latest merciful contribution, his two books, reveal that he is also an inspirational and profound writer. A Prayer for Deep Absorption is a phenomenal guide to the nectar of devotion and to our spiritual growth. It offers a reader practical, explanatory, concise yet comprehensive instruction on devotional service. We are fortunate to receive Maharaj's insight into the teachings of Srila Rupa Goswami. Dynamite comes in small packages, they say. And Maharaj's publication, Guru and Disciple, is a spiritual dynamite. The mood, style, tone, and intention reveals Maharaj's intimate and personal interaction with his disciples. Maharaj is certainly a very compassionate and caring individual. And in his book, he speaks of kindness, humility, forgiveness, and real friendship. Krishna consciousness is a universal doctrine. Some hallmarks of the Krishna or Hare Krishna movement are non-sectarianism, pluralism, and inclusivism, which stems from the realization that we are all God's children. The demographic composition of Maharaj's disciple following must certainly please Srila Prabhupada. Many have faith in His Holiness Kadama Kanana Swami. I pray that Lord Krishna endows and blesses Maharaj with good health and grants him shelter at his lotus feet. I'd like to conclude with a short quote from Maharaj's book, Guru and Disciple. Let's go back to Godhead in this lifetime. Your humble servant, Pujaniya Das, Ashramuti Devidas.
You are all devotees with many talents, and Pujaniya is a good musician. And also a very gentle person. So, if somehow or other we can engage all these talents in Srila Prabhupada's service, then we can do something wonderful.
Face the people. Yeah,
yeah. Dear Guru Maharaj, he once told me that it's okay if I cannot do big things for Krishna, but if I do a lot of little things, that will result in a big thing. These words mean everything to me. I never understood the true meaning of faith until I saw your faith in this movement. For me, I honestly never thought that I would go out onto the streets and do Harinam, let alone book distribution. I never thought that I could be an instrument in helping to save someone's life by going out onto the streets. But through your mercy, it is all possible. I'm so grateful to you for giving me that rare opportunity to be a part of this Sankirtana movement. I know that I can never repay you. And so I pray that I may always be engaged in the Sankirtan mood. Hopefully in that way, I may assist you in this mission. I'm so fortunate to have your strong guidance in my life, and I want to thank Srila Prabhupada for giving me you. I pray that I can always try and serve you and follow your instructions. All praise to you, my dear Guru Maharaj.
Yeah, thank you really very much. I mean, Radharaman is not like one who likes to step into the foreground and give a big public speech. And that's why also going on the street and distributing books is more difficult for someone who's a little shy. So I really appreciate actually that you're doing that, as you're distributing books. It's really, thank you so much.
I think I got the offer.
Namo Vishnu Praya Krishna Prishaya Vipari Shumati Karamakandha Swami Nityanami. My dear Father, Master, and everything, today marks a wonderful day where you gave shelter to 1,000 living entities, including myself. I believe Krishna had a reason for my birth to meet such a Prema Ruruksha Vaishnava spiritual master. My dear Father, though I may be struggling spiritually and seeking your shelter to kindly protect me, you still have that faith in me. I may not every day show gratitude of how you actually saved me from the clutches of Maya and the dangerous type of fear of taking birth in lost species. The scripture describes that a spiritual master is as good as God himself because he came to deliver us from this material entanglement. Whenever I see you, there's always that smile which comes from an unimaginable world of mine. The appreciations of the spiritual master are unlimited because of their surrender to the holy name and Krishna. After many, many births, one gets the opportunity to associate with a bona fide devotee of Krishna. My dear Father, on this auspicious gathering, we're here to glorify your mercy and blessings which you have showered upon all of us here and other Vaishnavas and the human society itself by your presence. The sacrifice Srila Prabhupada made by giving us the presence today is unimaginable. The sacrifice you've made for me by taking me to your shelter and feeding me with the love and embracing me with the care and dressing me with kindness. The love you gave me on my initiation is topmost. The love you gave me by the name Achyuta Gotra and the surname which is Das to serve has made a new me. The spiritual master is the ocean of mercy, the friend of the poor, the Lord and master of the disciples. Speaking for myself, my days have been good and bad, but your life has given me life, the reason to live for, the purpose of everything. It is by worship, my Bhakta Puja Pyarika, that one can get the mercy of the master. If the master is happy, the servants become happy. I recall the class you gave in Chaupali where you said that His Holiness Sri Vikram Maharaj said that one time Srila Prabhupada came down the stairs and we did a circle and he said that my spiritual master made me a diamond. I pray today, my dear Father, that though sometimes I may struggle, I may seem like there's no hope, but by your mercy, I'll rise above the occasion of repenting for the sake of repenting and I'll do something to please you and Srila Prabhupada. That are hopeful and willing to serve. The aspiring servant of your servants, Achyuta Gotra Das.
So Achyuta Gotra means the family of Krishna. Achyuta is Krishna. And it also means the perfect family, because Achyuta means infallible. So the day you took initiation, you became part of the perfect family of Krishna. So this, your life will be perfect. Yeah. Thank you.
Should you adjust the mic? Maybe help to adjust the mic a little taller. Because I can. He doesn't know what to do. Someone who knows what to do. Here on the right side, move it, open it, and you can punch it. He also doesn't know what to do. Parjanya knows what to do. Okay.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. So I chose a letter that Jaya Pataka wrote to Srila Prabhupada, where he asked Srila Prabhupada about whether the spiritual master remains in the material universe until all the his disciples are delivered to the spiritual sky. And the answer that Srila Prabhupada said was yes, that the spiritual master remains until all of his disciples are delivered. And that one of the things disciples have to be very careful of is not to commit any offenses, because the spiritual master has to reincarnate until all of his disciples are delivered. When my initiation interview was approved, and Vibhu Prabhu called me on that Sunday night, I was so overwhelmed and absolutely scared. And thankfully I had nurse, something that you and I spoke about, to tell him in terms of my initiation being delayed. So I look at the message that Srila Prabhupada was trying to convey to disciples and devotees in general, and it was just that it is such an offense to it's really offensive to disobey the spiritual master. And I pray that as I continue on my spiritual journey, I never do that. I honor you with absolute purity and devotion, I look forward to traveling on my spiritual journey with you. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, thank you so much for being on that spiritual journey. It's an exciting journey because we're on the way back to the spiritual world, and so it's a very auspicious journey. This is the second time we've come to your home to do a program, and so thank you very much for hosting and making so many arrangements and so on. And yeah, the initiation, she wanted it to be a nice and proper ceremony, which I'll be doing in Radhadesh. As we said, all right, then we'll do it in Radhadesh. So the delay was not because of any lack of qualification or any problem. No, it was just because there will be more time to do it very nicely. So we will soon meet there. You're leaving on?
22nd.
I'll wait for you there. I'll leave on the 19th. Hare Krishna.
Why don't we make Parjanya the official microphone man? Because he is a musician, he knows really how it. I saw the way he handled it was like a pro.
Dear Guru
Maharaj. Parjanya. Just come here and help me just. Because anyone can see that it's upside down. Right? So we just fix it after. That's okay for now. Okay. It just annoys me. Before.
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. I don't think I can completely understand the great gift that Krishna has given me in the form of a spiritual master. And not just any spiritual master. A spiritual master who is such an amazing servant of the holy name. A spiritual master who is an amazing servant of this movement and showing us all the true meaning of being a servant. Recently, you told me, when you took sannyas, one Prabhupada disciple said to Jayavetha Maharaj, "Now you have expanded yourself." And then you humbly commented that you are a dim reflection. But you are the most dedicated, unwavering representative of Jayavetha Maharaj and Srila Prabhupada. And you have also expanded yourself in the form of your dedicated disciples who lives by your instructions and assisting you so enthusiastically. And I pray that I may never let go of the example and mercy. When I speak to my God brothers and sisters, and when I look at what gives them strength and determination in service, is that they are touched by your affectionate glance and recognition of any service they do, whether it's small or big, and you always make everyone feel special. Just like you quote many times that Krishna is known as Achyuta, because he never fails to notice the slightest service anyone renders. And each time he remembers that service, his appreciation for them grows even more and more. That same magnanimity that the Lord displays, you also carry in your heart, and you show it to all of us, whether deserving or undeserving. Thank you, Maharaj, for being my best friend, my father, and my eternal well-wisher.
So Yadarani is one of my early disciples, and in fact, I met her when she was a little schoolgirl, many years ago, and somehow or other, she got fired up and she organized this school program. And I remember that there was a state program first, and then there was like on the sides a little thing where there were, where all the kids were sitting on little benches, and I was also sitting on one of the little benches, and we had a rocking kirtan with the kids, and they liked it. And from then on, later she became my disciple and so on. And so, yeah, she's like one of the early disciples, and therefore that gives a special bond. It does. So on Facebook she wrote that she's my daughter, and okay, accepted, she's my daughter.
Hare Krishna, dear Guru Maharaj. Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to you, all glories to Shri Ajit Vaita Swami, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. I'm not the best with words. I can't write or speak eloquently. So today I just want to offer some thanks. Thank you for being there for me, for being a part of my life, for allowing me to be a part of your life. Thank you for your dedication to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you for linking me to the Parampara. Over the years, I've forgotten this amazing gift and truth that I'm linked by your grace. Thank you for being so admirable and so accessible to us. Your live-streamed lectures and the blog help me to stay connected despite being immersed and sometimes drowning in this material world. The other night in Cape Town, you mentioned that one claim that you can make is that you are the property of His Holiness Jai Advaita Swami. The statement hit me like a heart punch. Over the years, being consumed up by the workplace, I've forgotten that I'm your property. I need to remember this and act in ways that stands true to this fact. Thank you for this reminder. Even though your guidance to us is eternal via your instructions and prayers, I pray that Lord Chaitanya allows us many more years with you, your aspiring servant.
Yeah, thank you for reminding us of that point. Yeah, because somehow or other, this year, on the 12th was my birthday according to the passport, and on today it is according to the lunar calendar, which is the Vedic calendar. So I just had one birthday. In between I flew up here, and now there's the second one, so it feels a little surrealistic. But I was making, the main point I made in that program in Cape Town was, I was thinking about it, about my relationship with Jai Advaita Maharaj, and thinking, yeah, could I really claim to be a servant of Jai Advaita Maharaj? I'm not sure. Could I really claim to be a follower of my spiritual master? I don't know if I'm a good follower. But one thing I can say is I am his property. And he can do with me whatever he likes. I mean, because that's easy to say, I'm a servant of the spiritual master. We as someone earlier on said, we are stubborn, right? No, it's hard. So to be a servant is hard because the stubbornness is still there. And to be a follower, we are also individuals. So how can you be a follower of your spiritual master who is different than you? It's not always easy. How do you reconcile all these things? But all I can say is, I am the property of my spiritual master. He can do with me as he pleases.
Srila Kadambakanana Swami Maharaj Ki. Before Radha Dutti comes forward, if we could just call Tara Lakshi, Nadia Gudrum, Chiranjeev, Tirumala, and Ujwala. I will be at the back. If you want to give in your name, you just give it to me.
There's too many of these. Wait a minute.
I give you one.
Hare Krishna. Guru Maharaj, you have often said that this is a mercy movement. Empowered by the parampara, Sri Krishna, it is through your indiscriminate mercy that the transcendental sound vibration has pierced many a heart. It is only through your surrender that so many have come to the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada, and it is only through your constant guidance that we remain. All this is because you have surrendered your life for our benefit. Please accept my humble obeisances, life after life. Often to gain inspiration, I look toward your mood of compassion and towards my God brothers and sisters engaged in the same mood. What a wonderful network of Sankirtan you have created. Every day is filled with good news that the holy name is being spread to towns and villages, thereby fulfilling the prophecy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Sankirtan network you have created gives me life and encourages me to go on and do something practical. And all this is by your example. In his book, All Glories to the Sankirtan Devotees, Harikesh Maharaj writes, "Let me just distribute these books throughout the whole universe for the rest of my lives. Life after life, let me follow Srila Prabhupada throughout the universe and fulfill my responsibility to him by bringing back the lost conditioned souls." And so following your example, taking it to heart, dear Guru Maharaj, please bless me to distribute books life after life. It is only by the mercy of the spiritual master and the good fortune of the disciple that one is allowed to take to the streets. And so for that good fortune, I come begging, life after life. All glories, all glories, all glories to you, dear Guru Maharaj, on this most auspicious Vyasa Puja. May your glories be spread throughout the three worlds. Jai Srila Prabhupada. Thank
you. So Radha Dutti means the messenger of Radharani. And Radharani is very merciful and very soft-hearted. And Radha Dutti is somehow or other deeply inspired to distribute books. And please go with her sometimes and see what happens. But she's deeply inspired, and her prayer is something a lot of people would be scared of, to pray life after life, return to distribute books. It's an amazing prayer. Thank you so much. May Krishna bless you with strength and youth and everything you need to pull it off. Hare Krishna.
As I write my offering to you, the class you once gave in Midrand comes to mind. I had written a question on the clipboard. If Krishna is impartial and the spiritual master is his representative, then does it mean that the spiritual master doesn't feel any separation when he's away from his disciple? I will never forget part of your response. You said that the spiritual master loves his disciple more than the disciple loves the spiritual master. But lately, I have been questioning whether or not I even have any love at all in my heart. If I did, I would surely serve you better. I fall short in so many ways. In my attempts to show my gratitude to you, I have done so many silly and childish things, and yet each time you accept everything I offer you so kindly and reciprocate with such love and affection. I make your bags heavy, but you lovingly accept all my offerings, knowing that you have no space for it all. You play all my silly games and accept my childish presents. I make you long, heavy garlands that go beyond your feet, and yet you lovingly wear them throughout the program, and then you give me your mahakalas and tell me that it'll take me back to Godhead. When I cook for you, I forget to give you water. I forget to make salad dressing, and I leave booby traps in your dates. But you sweetly get your own water, tell me not to worry about the dressing, and have dry salad, and take the seeds out of your dates yourself. I offer you Swami outfits that make you feel like a pink Christmas tree, yet still you wear them, and you make a point of showing me that you're wearing them to make me happy. I give you flowers, which you don't really want, but you allow me to decorate Sri Giriraj's altar with it instead. Throughout my relationship with you, each time I try to show my gratitude to you and try to make you feel loved, you reciprocate with so much more than I can ever offer you. And I still remember the first time I met you. When I was preparing for you to come, I made you big fluffy hats and crocheted a little baby Krishna doll for you. I made you a few necklaces for Sri Giriraj. I was so happy when I made those offerings. I was so sure that you would be even more amazing than I thought, and I was right. I kept thinking about how special it was to finally meet you, and how I thought that I had found someone that I would just love and just make special surprises for. That's all I wanted. I didn't know much about the secret relationship between the guru and the disciple. I didn't understand much at all. I just really appreciated you, and I wanted to make you feel loved. You have been answering so many of my questions on your blogs before I could meet you, and I've even dreamt about you calling to me several times before I even started reading the blog, and before I knew anything about you at all. I remember when I met you in person for the first time, and I gave you my offering. I just wanted you to know that I appreciated you, and I wanted to make you feel special. Then the next day, you gave me so many presents. I felt so overwhelmed. I can't say that I ever felt more loved than before that moment. I sometimes wonder why I could not have met you sooner, and it hurts sometimes when I think about all the years that I wasted not knowing you. Why did it take so long for me to finally meet you? Recently, you thanked me for an offering I had made for you, and I responded by thanking you instead. You replied by saying, "What did I do? I didn't do anything." I replied, "I don't even know where to begin. You gave me the holy name." Then you said that I had already had the holy name. But no, I didn't have the holy name with your mercy. When I was 7 years old, I started chanting. I chanted seven rounds every day, and at least 32 rounds on auspicious days. I was a child and was too young to do anything else, to be part of the festivities. So I would just sit and I used to chant. I chanted like that, and I increased the number of rounds every year. But still, I didn't meet you, nor had any of the special and magical things that happen now ever happened then. Now I chant, but still my rounds are not the best, but so many special things happen, amazing things that can only be by your mercy. I just always felt that I could one day meet someone very special that would mean more to me than anyone else. One day, I got a maha flower from Srila Prabhupada's Guru Puja. It meant so much to me. It was sacred. I promised myself that I would keep it for the person I would love the most. I didn't know who I was keeping it for. I just kept it. It was my most precious possession. I was just a child. I didn't have much, but that was my treasure. Then, after I met you, I went home and thought about what I could possibly do to thank you for your presence. Then I remembered the most treasured possession I had, the flower, and so I gave it to you. But then you put your hand in your bead bag and you gave me a maha flower from Vrindavan instead. You told me to keep it in my bead bag, so I did. It meant so much to me. Every time I chanted, I would search for it first. It was from my Guru Maharaj that I waited so many years for. But then it got lost and I was heartbroken. It took me a year to tell you that I had lost it. Your response was a sweet picture of yourself holding out a maha flower. I will never be able to express how much that touched my heart. The very next time I saw you, Guru Maharaj, you emptied your bead bag of all the maha flowers in it and gave it all to me. And you didn't stop there. The next day, you gave me a bead bag filled with moha flowers. Naturally, I was more interested in your bead bag, which you lovingly gave to me. But still, that was not all. In the bead bag, you had planted moha from Sri Giriraj for me to find. I didn't know how to reciprocate. I was so overwhelmed. I decided that the only thing I could do would be to get a bead bag from Jayadvaita Maharaj himself for you. And so I said I would. I had at that point only met him once, and when I met him, I asked him to sign a photo for you, and he did so most lovingly. I wondered how I could possibly ask for something else, but I had to. I wanted to offer you a Maha bead bag, and so I did. And the day that I gave you his bead bag, as always, you gave me something so precious that I cannot even think of how to reciprocate with something more sweet. You read 5 chapters of Chaitanya Charitamrita to me, and gave me so many biographies of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I was so deeply touched. I don't know why it took so many years for me to meet you. I'm most unfortunate. I lost so many years that I could have known you and served you. But in the few years that I have known you, you have given me more than I would ever be able to thank you for. And yet all I ever wanted was someone that I could love with my whole heart. And yet now that I do know you, I serve you so poorly. I must surely be lacking of any real love. And still, although you know my lacking heart, you are so kind to me. When I feel great separation from you, you take me on parikrama with you. You allow me to have your darshan and you speak to me. You open the eyes of this unqualified fool to see all that I'm not qualified to see. You lend me what is yours, which I do not even deserve. You are my spiritual master, my father, and I will never be able to repay you for the golden treasure that you have planted in my heart. But it is a debt for which I am grateful to pay, because it means that I will be indebted to you and bound by service to your lotus feet eternally. I may not have met you earlier in this life, but I will always belong to you from now on. I will never be separated from your serving of lotus feet. And this is where I wish to always remain at your lotus feet, where I pray to one day develop some love with which I may serve you the way you should be served, with love.
Tirumala is very creative and she can make all kinds of things, surprise packages. The latest thing was, as I was giving class in Cape Town the day on my birthday, past my birthday, the day before, yesterday, in the middle of the class, I mean, all the devotees that they were giving class, in the middle of the class, this DHL guy in full uniform walks into the class with a letter. You know, I knew it was Tirumala. Who could organize something like that, you know? And she does. Eh? I mean, it's amazing. She has incredible Shakti in this world. Yeah. So please bring the message of Krishna to as many people as you can.
Puja. Every time that I'm in your association, you're always giving me practical guidance on how to develop my Krishna consciousness, always so kindly and expertly teaching me how to see everything from a spiritual perspective. You're always going out of your way to serve Srila Prabhupada's mission, all glorious to your dedication and effort. This Ratriyatra, dancing and chanting together in Kirtan, was the best time of my life. Your life has been full of spiritual adventure, and I am grateful that you make this spiritual journey fun and exciting. I pray that I may somehow help you in your mission to Srila Prabhupada. You are a perfect spiritual master, and I continually aspire to be a better student.
As Tara Lakshmi said, student. She used to be a student in the Radhadesh, but even at the college for some time, and that was very nice. Then she stood out to me because grew up in South Africa in Radhadesh, and naturally got to know her. And sometimes she comes in, and one time I was like doing my puja and she was watching, and she was really into it. So, and then she said she wanted to do it. So, okay. So sometimes she comes in and she just does the puja. It's just, it was her idea. But she does it nice, you know. So, anytime, you know, always welcome. Whenever you get inspired, please come. And do the puja.
So, I would have given myself a round of applause if I finished this offering. I think my excuse is that how do you do a basic offering for such a magnanimous person? So, I tried, and I stringed together a couple of thoughts and started like, for the longest time, I used to think that my spiritual master had saved my life. But then I read his recent book and it made more sense to me that my spiritual master took my life. Yes, I willingly offered him my life, but he took it all away and gave me his life in return and only asked that I take care of it. So if there's any good in me, any good in my character, any good qualities, material or spiritual, it is all the causeless mercy of my spiritual master. When I wrote, this is the written part, but the meaning behind it is that I feel like a child who was never really given that parental affection, because at the time I grew up, my parents were too busy. Yet I grew up and didn't think that I would ever be a child again. I thought, now I'm a man, I have to take care of myself. But here I am your spiritual child. And you have wiped all of those tears away. And I feel as if at the time when you accepted me as a disciple, I was a write-off. I had no faith, no one had faith in me, and I had no faith that anyone would ever have faith in me. And that time has turned completely. I am not where I feel you want me to be, and I'm not where I want to be spiritually, but I see a drastic and a huge turnaround from how it was when I first came to you asking for your shelter. And then it continues to say, my spiritual master is a Kalpatari. Giving shade from the scorching heat of material existence. All season nourishes with the fruit of Krishna consciousness, asking nothing in return. For he is deeply rooted in the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. Where he never moves, yet he travels the whole world giving shade and fruit, but he is never moved from the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. So in reciprocation to that tree, so I was wondering why I made a comparison of my spiritual master to a tree, because I didn't find it fitting. But then somehow, after I had written it a while, I realized that my spiritual master's name is Kadamba Kanavaswamy. I haven't put together a train of thought on that realization. But then it continues in reciprocation. My prayer is that I may become an insignificant raindrop that will, by divine arrangement, be situated in a position to be absorbed by his ever-growing roots, roots that grow deeper and deeper into attachment for the lotus feet of Guru and Gauranga. I pray to serve the roots as an insignificant raindrop, because maybe then, by a dint of mercy, I can be fortunate enough to imbibe the essence of your mood, the essence of your love, to the holy names, the essence of your love for Krishna, for Prabhupada, and for your spiritual master, His Holiness Charivita Swami. Because maybe then I may be fortunate enough to have as much love for you and serve you just as well. Maybe then I may imbibe just in the essence of your mercy on the fallen conditioned souls such as myself, the essence of your mercy to the suffering and to the world at large. So I was going to title this part, My Spiritual Master is a Kalpa Tari. I once was lost, but now I am found. So I pray to imbibe the essence of whatever you may want me to imbibe. And then this part was going to continue, but I didn't get to finish it. But I had an interlude that goes on before that. And it says that the iron remains an iron, and the fire remains the fire. If the iron rod is submerged in fire for a fair amount of time, it becomes as fire with the quality of heat and light. But the quantity never the same. But keep the iron rod out of the fire for a long enough time, and what happens? So I am just but a rusted piece of cold metal, whom by your causeless mercy find himself within the association of your fire. And I pray and beg that you may keep me somehow connected to your transcendental flame, to the transcendental flame of your instruction, for without it, this little light of mine may just lose its insignificant spark. I also pray that you use your other metals, who have now qualified to be in your tool rack or your toolbox. Use them to beat me and bend me to whatever shape that you might find useful, for whatever good is performed in this world without devotional service is nothing but sin. Then I would have gone back to the analogy of the tree and said that because we are not an impersonal movement, the idea of a drop merging or being absorbed by the roots is sort of mayavadic. So then this iron rod analogy, so the individual remains the individual. But being absorbed by the roots, then the individual would then go up the stems, learn more about the tree, and then become one of the fruits that this tree uses to nourish the world. And within that fruit will be a seed, and somehow, by the Lord's mercy, this seed can also be wind dispersed to find fertile ground on which the spiritual master desires for him to land, and he can stem his roots just as the spiritual master deeply within the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. So, thank you very much.
When I was in Cape Town talking, one of the things that came to mind was that it wasn't so much about me putting a lot of faith in my spiritual master, but the thing that really got me going was that my spiritual master put faith in me. Mm-hmm. Right? And that gave me wings, you know. Then I could do things, and I felt like I had to do things. So I put my faith in you, you know, that you will do something. I think so. I see in you many good qualities. I know you are actually a man of many talents, right? I mean, I know you can organize things. I know you're a good photographer. You're many things. So I'm sure that you will flourish. I have faith in that.
I see. If you stand up, they can see
you. Kneeling down, because usually I'm so tall and above everyone else. In my culture, it's kind of disrespectful to look everyone at eye level. I think if I speak, I will probably go on for days. So instead, I thought I'll write a short little something, and I hope you like it. There was once a lonely boy who longed to play outside, but had to stay in and do homework. He wanted to laugh and jump and be free, but needed to sit and work indoors bound. When looking out, the sunshine bright would shine its warm rays on the trees. Wished he could climb up and swing on their branches, he opted instead for organizing his wood shelf. Inside was safe, inside was good. No one to take or borrow his things. The toys and books that filled the space where other people, friends, could have been. The lonely boy slept and woke up, ate and read, going about his comfortable cage. A room to keep him occupied, stifled, bothering thoughts of being outside. Slowly, time passed, slowly he grew, and unfulfilled his small life became. When inside became dull and grey, despite playthings brought for him anew. So while he sat and read one day, a saffron songbird came fluttering by. Perched on his window, resting from flight, immediately capturing said boy's sight. The songbird then, as if unbothered, stretched its wings and raised its head, while opening beak and softly singing. A song shot through the boy's heart yearning. The boy's song told of lands he'd been where people were not held or bound by things that they kept hidden inside, their rooms, their hearts, their prison house. The song said, come and feel the sun, let the heat rays dance on skin. Run and touch and taste and see what a life lived in love can be. The song said, let desire's flames within become denied the blaze it seeks. When fickle yearning consumes all, let rain wash away all the burning thieves. The boy moved closer to the window, wishing to hear more of the song. Silently pleading, the songbird awarded him what he waited for long. So on and on the song was sung, telling a tale in every note. With every passing moment felt, the songbird quenched the boy's heart. Singing, dancing in this world, is only done by man's small might, when the songbird told of how these are relished when only for God's delight. How singing songs about this giving teaches others about love, not for self gain or even fame, simply to see true smiles on faces. These songs, the bird said, are so pure, they even fill the hollowed hearts of lonely room-bound boys that hunger for a taste of life fulfilled. The songbird's head then raised still higher, let a teardrop glide and flow down to the earth below, the droplet reflecting the shining sky above. The boy sat puzzled why this was, until the songbird sung again, that tears are shed when hearts are open to highest truth, couple divine. The songbird sung that if those who were trapped inside would just look out, they could but see, they could but taste a depth of what the songbird sings. That serving those two blue and gold hidden in the green forest groves, under moon shades inside the heartscapes, those honey sweet eternals play, will give a song that plays forever, pushing beyond any barriers that are put up, that can be crossed, when we but with a little surrender. It's songs of this place that the bird knew and told the boy could take with him, journey outside and feel the warmth of love that's known when one can serve. And so the bird suddenly flew to other places he should sing. The songs he left the boy with stayed resonating inside within. When the bird left the boy, now knew that he would never be alone. A story he could tell to all, that love divine begins by hearing. Songs divine that nurture hearts, which were once trapped and closed off to. A song of love given in mercy. The lonely boy who was once locked away in dungeons of his mind now prays to help his songbird sing those songs that dance within his heart. From those songs given by the bird who travels near and far singing to those bound behind their walls and now sing this small composition a song of my own from a heart now freed, which once hid behind toys and things, now walks and runs and jumps and sings, giving out love songs from a bird to all.
So many talents, it's amazing. You can definitely write. It's like, of course, you know, like he Chiranjeev has studied in Radha Desh in the Bhaktivedanta College, and he has, he knows many things about our tradition that you and I don't know. I mean, because some very qualified teachers have been teaching. So I think in the future we hope to hear more and more from Chiranjeev to share with us knowledge, and I hope that he'll gain more and more deep knowledge of Krishna consciousness and teach that everywhere. Hare Krishna.
So if we could ask Vrindavan Vilasini Mataji, Yana Samudra Prabhu, Acharya, Sri Dham Prabhu.
Dear Guru Maharaj, thank you for being the coolest person I know. Just the other day, Charachandra and I were chanting at night in the pastors on your way to your room, and that rock star walk. You said to us, how romantic. I lack conviction, enthusiasm, and patience, and because I see these qualities in you, my faith keeps growing stronger. I'm helpless and poor, but you're the embodiment of love and are very kind. There's no need for me to approach anybody else for help because I know no one will attend to me, this poor, miserable soul. I mess up quite a lot, more often, and sometimes I shy away from it because I know that you know that I've messed up. You just give me that look and that smile, and then I know that my secret is out. I'm so sorry, and please forgive me for that, Maharaj. You are my best friend, and my only prayer is that one day I will love you as much as you love me. Thank you for tolerating me and for engaging me in your service and in the service of Srila Prabhupada and Krishna. Hare Krishna.
So Ujwala is from Latimbu. Uchwala is from Soweto, and every year the Rati Yatra is winding up at his house, and there's a park in front of his house, and then the festival is there. I've been now for a number of years, and it's very nice. We've sometimes done programs in his house, and also Namahata has been going on from his house, so I'm looking forward to come again and again and visit you there and do something.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances, all values to Shri Prabhupada, all values to Jaya Vaita Maharaj, and all values to you. Thank you very much for being a part of my life and for allowing allowing me to be a part of your life. Coming from a bit of a scientific background, generally progress has to be measured against a baseline or a sum total, but in years of my association with you, you've shown me that this is actually a movement of love and that there is no sum total or a limit. And no matter what difficulties there are, Krishna's plan is perfect. So a key metric in measuring progress is our ability to surrender. So I've learned that the hard way. Generally, when you're departing for a different destination, one of your famous goodbye analogies is that we are like two pieces of wood in an ocean. Sometimes we come together and sometimes we drift apart depending on the current. And over the years I started contemplating about this and about different wood glue. Glue that would have the properties of extending salt and wet conditions. But recently I've begun to understand that the glue is actually our devotional service and loving cooperation with each other so that we can stick together and make it through the material ocean of constant disturbances together. In your recent class, you were saying, you're talking about our maths, and you said, everything plus Krishna equals Vrindavan. And I might not know what, or we might not know what Vrindavan is like, but in our world, everything plus you, in the form of your kirtans, your mercy, your love, and your guidance, is a taste of Vrindavan. And that taste of Vrindavan allows us to, well, it inspires us to endeavor more and more to be better and better. So thank you for everything that you do.
Thank you.
So, Vrindavan Vilasini, she is a chemical engineer. And I met her when she was studying together with Rukmini, who is somehow or other also a chemical engineer. And although she never really worked in the field, but stayed in the university and just carries on like that, but Vrindavan Vilasini, that she was responsible for this big chemical plant in Sasselburg, and thinking, my God, you know, big plant can explode any moment. Little girl has to look after all that. So, my God, what are we doing in this world? But, you know, she may be little, but when she speaks, you know, you can see, like, she's got a brain, and you could see the chemical engineering in it, right? The wood drifting apart and thinking of what kind of glue can it create? And then you see like the deeper spiritual inclination by understanding that it's devotional service. So I appreciate, you know, like that this is intelligence properly directed. Thank you very much.
Okay, so I also heard the class on Thursday night in Cape Town, and you talked a little about how much talent and creativity we have amongst our devotees and how we need to use that talent in spreading Krishna consciousness. So I got a little inspired after that talk and decided that this year I would try and do something different for my offering. Something you wouldn't expect from me, who speaks like once a year. So I decided to try and find a bit of my creative side, which was very difficult indeed. And will be presenting my offering today in the form of a short, informal poem. Yes. I'm completely out of my element. And I, especially after hearing Chiranjeev and Nadia Gadru, don't expect anything. Why do you mind me the corny type? So please bear with me. So in that talk, you also spoke a bit about your relationship with your spiritual master. He's why this generation for me. And what an extraordinary person and how much of a naturally saintly person he is. And somehow that stuck with me and ended up featuring in the poem. So the title of the poem is A Sage for This Age. So let's get into that. One who would fit in perfectly amongst the sages of Naimisharanya is how you've described your spiritual master. A timeless personality is he, which all of us cannot be. You've told us that if you were to sit amongst those sages and try, then they would all say, who's that guy? Somehow or other, which is a phrase we often hear from you, His Holiness Jayadvaita Swami has become your spiritual master and has given us you, event which we cannot undo.
To his decision, you could not object or disagree, for as you mentioned, if there's one thing you are sure of, it's that you are his property. Hippie hooray, for I would not have wanted it any other way. The closest some of us ever get to the word Naimi Sharanya is when looking through a Kurma cookbook and it says, now it's time for lasagna. That last line will remind you that we are a special group born in this age, and we need special mercy to break us out of our cage. A sage for this age is what you are and what we've got. And I'm happy to be, and I'm happy to belong to this special lot. A tough task you've taken on, I'm sure with much courage, to try and mold us into servants of the ocean of knowledge. And even naming some of us so many, many moons ago, so that our position we would always know. As you are your spiritual master's property, we are yours. And as you strive to hang on to your spiritual master, we will strive to hang on to ours.
Hidden talents, huh?
So if you can ask Acharya Prabhu, Ram Vijay Prabhu, please. Sarachandi Mataji and Amitabhani Mataji.
Hare Krishna Mataji. Because of the time location, I chose rather to show appreciation and gratitude for all that you've done for me. I many times compared your energy to that of the rays of the sun, which is able to brighten up and energize everything in its path. You don't pick and choose, but give abundantly to everyone in your vision. Thank you, Maharaj, for always recharging my batteries when I'm flat, for being my safety net on my down days. Your kirtan has always been there to save me, and sorry for failing you so hopelessly in these kirtans. Thank you so much, Maharaj. Thanks.
Yeah, he's a djembe player, and in these big kirtans, they have to work hard. So sometimes he gets tired, and I'm beating him. But thank you for never giving up, and please keep it up. That'll be very nice.
Dear Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances on Gauri Chakra Prabhupada and Gauri Sukhdeva. I must admit that I owe a deep debt of gratitude to you. As I reflect on your impact on my life, those of my close friends and family members, and the community in general, it is apparent that you have made such an incredible contribution to all our lives. I've come to realize much more acutely the dynamic nature of spiritual life through your example. My previous impression was that we all had to be a certain way to be Krishna consciousness. From the time I first met you, I appreciated your spirited and dynamic leadership in our movement and your individual character and flavor that enhanced our experience of Krishna consciousness. It is always wonderful to be in your association, and I feel truly benefited after each experience. Your contribution in so many ways has shaped who and what we are. Your remarkable insights into practically everything, from the deeply philosophical to the highly controversial to the managerial, etc., leave us in awe. For me, the most relishable experience is sitting in your classes and following you as you take us on a journey exploring different topics in Krishna consciousness. I find the insights you offer, even on topics and points that I think I'm quite familiar with, truly remarkable. With you, I feel I can ask anything and no topic is off limits. And then you invest and share so much of yourself in your responses. This is truly a rare gift which I treasure. I know that should I drift away from the path of Krishna consciousness, that you'll have no qualms in dragging me back by my seeker. thank you for taking care of and the responsibility for so many devotees, so many of my friends and well wishes, my family and me. Your servant, Ramji.
So Ramji Jai is a good friend. And the son of Indrabhatta, and somehow or other I'm close to the family, and yeah, we had so many experiences. Bangladesh, of course, will always be there with us, you know. We went on this expedition in Bangladesh, and there's lots of mosquitoes, and there were not enough mosquito nets. So hey, Manga Chaitanya and Ram Vijay had to share one mosquito net. But even then, there were others who also wanted to share the mosquito net with them. And that was a rat in the middle of the night. So, you know, you can imagine what excitement that was. So many experiences. Were you also in the boat that sank? I think so. It's like, I saw it coming, I jumped out just in time. But Ram went down with the boat. So. So, yeah, we had so many wonderful things we shared over the years. And we sat in meetings also. Yeah, many different things we shared in service to Srila Prabhupada. So let us do more for Srila Prabhupada. That's his sister.
He'll do that.
Hi, Krishna Guru Maharaj. Happy Vyasa Puja. This morning I lost my voice and I was so happy that I wouldn't be able to speak. But then you came a little now, so I said 30 seconds. I think with me, I've always tried to form, you know, been wanting to find a home in the material world and then in Krishna consciousness. And many years ago, you told me that the home of a disciple is at the lotus feet of the spiritual master. And well, because of my stubborn nature, it took many more years to sink in. But because of the service that you engaged me in, and I just want to thank you for giving me a home. And I want to thank you for giving me a wonderful family who's qualities I can only aspire to emulate. And I pray that with your blessings, I may please you in my service and I may develop pure heart.
For quite a number of years now, whenever we brought out a book, and it was Amrita Vani was really very, very active in it. Of course, the first books on the Holy Name was all Yadurani. She did those. They're still very nice. But Amrita Vani did many, many things in terms of books. And this year, it was especially tough. Right? And all right, the small book, that was kind of under control. Right? But the other one, I didn't give her any time at all. Right? How much did he give you? 6 weeks or something? 2 months I gave you.
Yes.
Anyway, it wasn't much time. And they had to somehow or other do the impossible. And, well, we had to do things on the internet, Skype calls and these things to sort of get it, get many of the questions sorted out. And even I was amazed at the end to see that such a nice book came out. Yeah? I mean, I looked at it, but wow, it's a book. and she is just learning more and more about book publication. Meanwhile, she's not alone, you know, like her daughter, Radhi Kunji, is like there doing all kinds of things, text editing, this, that, and then in the end, Nash has to has to do layout and all the technical stuff, and he also does. And this is my first opportunity to really thank him in person. So I want to do that also. So it's a service that's really appreciated very much. It really helps me to go forward in the direction I need to go right now, publishing books. So thank you so much.
So, before we enter the altar at the temple, the verse we recite, and it goes like this. I'm by nature the eternal servant of Krishna, but because of my bad nature, I have become inimical towards him from time immemorial. And thus I have identified myself with the body and continuously wandered in the cycle of death and death in the material world, suffering the burning threefold miseries. Now as a result of some unimaginable good fortune, my spiritual master's mercy has enabled me to know that I'm Krishna's eternal servant, a tiny spiritual being, completely apart from the gross and subtle body. And so by the orders of my spiritual master, I obtained the good fortune of serving his lotus feet and following in his footsteps, the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Shishi Radha Radhanath Ji. Emphasis on this little verse for me is unimaginable good fortune. Every time I do some service for the lordships, in the kitchen, in the altar, I always think it is only by your mercy. I'm thankful, Maharaj, for allowing me to exist in this unimaginable world, which is filled with love, auspiciousness, and so much joy. This mercy, this love, this family I find myself in is truly unimaginable. Your kindness is unimaginable. Your love is unimaginable. Your mercy is unimaginable. Thank you for always encouraging me, for supporting me, and for always being there. I thank you for my God family, who all represent your mercy. The service you've permitted me to do, which comes with so much deserved purification, and believe me, there is so much. But I thank you for revealing the potency and power of the holy names, which I'm realizing daily to be my lifeline. You always speak of how everything we need, everything we desire is in our chanting. Though I lack so much in absorbing myself fully and truly experiencing what the holy names can do, what it can bestow, I keep trying. I must, because what else is there really? My little realization and my desire to want to constantly hear the holy names is that I depend solely on the holy names for anything to work, to function, or transpire in my life. In my service, and in my friendships, in my work, and in my chanting. And I've also seen that trying to do things independently always results in conflict, confusion, and misery. Thank you, Maharaj, for revealing this secret to me. I thank you with all of my heart. A glorious and happy Vyasa Puja to you. Vyasa Puja Chandi.
Yeah. Thank you.
So Charachani has been devoted for quite a number of years. And she's done a lot of service. She's cooking for the deities. And in the last so many years, she took responsibility in the organization of the Soweto Ratiyatra and made it really like, as soon as she became involved, together with Ujwala, as a team, they really uplifted the Ratiyatra. And Charachandi's heart is really into making that Ratiyatra a success. Like when she talks to me, she says, I have to talk about the Ratiyatra. And then I say, do you have a Ratiyatra? No, there is only one Ratiyatra. So wait a Ratiyatra. And somehow or other, she went fundraising and with great enthusiasm. And she Yeah, some donors came forward to sponsor Ratha Yatra for the next 3 years, all giving 100,000, you know, 100,000 each year. And it's really, it fulfills really my desire, you know, because I wanted that this, I started so late to Ratha Yatra, and I paid for it for 7 years from my pocket, and it was a lot of hard work, and I would like this Ratha Yatra to go on, you know, for the future, right? Not just like Kadamba Kana Swami's thing, you know. So I'm so happy that someone from Soweto actually, you know, that the devotees from Soweto also include Ujwala, are taking this, and that it begins to work, you know. And of course I'll support, that's not, but I'm so happy to see that it's living, that it's now grown up and become a local thing, a local festival. That was my desire, you know. And that's success. So it's a very valuable service. So thank you very much.
Please accept my respectful obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to Chaitanya Swami, and all glories to your Divine Self. I also lost my voice today.
Coincidence.
Happy Vyasa Puja. Hare Krishna, dear God family. By His most profound mercy, Krishna has propelled me towards you. And by your most profound mercy, you have allowed me to become yours. I observed all the masses of suffering souls who lived to touch, whose lives you touched just during Ratha Yatra alone. They were so grateful for every moment of your association, and I was just one amongst them. You just washed your mercy over us all like a veritable tsunami of the holy names. And we went home completely saturated in the love that you have within your heart that you so graciously shared with us all. Oftentimes, I feel completely unworthy of receiving your personal darshan. And I stand back and I watch everyone else who is so much more qualified than I am. And then that ocean of mercy contained in your baby blue eyes settles on me. And then it, tsunami. And you make me feel like I'm so dear to you. And then you smile and you just say, so. And then my heart just melts, the heart that's always made of stone, and it just melts. And I know that whilst your mercy encompasses the whole world, I am yours and you are mine. And Gurudev, you are that rock that anchors me to the holy names. Despite all the storms I've had to weather in my interaction with the material energy, you have remained the most valuable gift from Krishna, and I thank you for your love. Thank you for your mercy. And I pray that I will someday be able to please you. Hare Krishna.
Yeah. As I earlier described, the program with Yadurani and the everyone sitting on the small benches, actually Krishnani was her teacher at the time. So we also go back a long way, because I don't know how, you know, how long ago that was, but that's ages ago. And so, you know, we're hearing words that are spoken with maturity, right? Because as the time goes by, time works in our favor. In the material world, with time, you lose it, you know, materially speaking. Like, I am 65 today. And it's not old, I mean, Indra Bhatta just turned 80, that's older. But still, 65 is something, it's getting there. And there are certain things at 65 that, you know, some little private issues that you don't share with people too often. But signs of old age, you know. And so in the material world, with time, you lose your power. You can't do what you used to. And yet, But spiritually, time works in our favor. It gets better all the time. Because all the time we spend in spiritual life will give us, will increase our strength. So Bodhidharma Prabhu, you know, is like a very early devotee from 1967. He wrote once in a Vyasa Puja offering, when more than 40 years had passed, he said, Srila Prabhupada, this year I have nothing to offer. This year I've done nothing special. I didn't distribute any books. I didn't preach a lot. I didn't make any devotees. There's nothing I can think of this year that I have done. But I can tell you one thing. I'm still here. And that was something, yeah, after so many years. So, you know, you are a mother and you have your hands full with your boy who is very energetic. And, I mean, all boys are energetic, but yours is special. No, absolutely. He has some special shakti. So, you're busy. But I'm really happy that you are here. And may you always, always stay in this enthusiastic. I heard my baby blue eyes described in a different way. It's cold steel gray eyes. But whatever may be. Let us somehow or other dedicate our whole life to Krishna. Back to God. And your boy will go as well.
Yeah, this is quite daunting. I wasn't planning on saying anything, but as I was listening to all the other devotees, you know, speak, then I somewhat felt inspired to also say something. So I was thinking, a lot of things came into mind, and one of the things I was just reflecting was, yeah, I came to Krishna consciousness at a very young age, even I think younger than Achyuta Gotra. I was 18 when I came to Krishna consciousness, and well, 20 of my age, yeah. And I somehow, Kanamaka Maharaj used to come to Pretoria a lot in those days. I mean, you know, in January he'll be there. Sometime in March, before he comes to Durban, he'll also be there. So quite a lot he would come, and he would spend a lot of time with some of us, and very quickly. I think in my first year of moving into the temple, I became very attracted to Maharaj and this very profound realization came into my heart that, you know, this person must be my spiritual master. I didn't really know much about, you know, like those deep insights into what a spiritual master is, but somehow I just felt, you know, there's a very strong feeling that he must be my spiritual master. So I spoke to my temple president at the time and expressed my desire to actually take charge of this devotee. And very eagerly, you know, he told me to write to Maharaj, and I did that. And Maharaj, you know, just said to me, yeah, we'll talk. This is maybe a few days before. I actually wrote on Maharaj's Vyasa Puja that year, and he was meant to be going to Durban, so we're all going to be meeting in Durban. So then he said, just, you know, I wrote this very long, heartfelt, you know, offering, and also asking Maharaj if I could take shelter of, you know, of his lotus feet. And he just wrote maybe about two sentences. He just said, "You're very nice, and we'll talk in Durban." That's quite typical of Maharaj.
Practical.
So a few weeks later, then we came to Durban, and we used to have this. You know, tradition of chanting together one round with all the devotees in Pretoria. So after Mangalati, then, you know, we sat in a circle and we chanted a round together. So Maharaj was chanting close to us and waited until we finished. So after we finished, then he just approached me. Yeah. For some reason, I didn't think that he would actually even remember me because I'm such an insignificant person. But Maharaj just came, approached me with a rose, and he gave it to me, and he said, "Yeah, I accept you as my disciple." And I was quite taken aback by that. And shortly after that, I was given a service of becoming Maharaj's personal servant. So I would travel a lot with Maharaj around South Africa and, you know, serve him. I learned quite a lot from Maharaj in terms of making chapatis, making khichdi, exactly how he wanted it. Because he used to say to me that the ladies can't make khichdi. You know, how many brahmacharis are you able to make it? So, so in my in me, you know, traveling around with Maharaj and serving him in that personal capacity, I learned quite a lot, you know, from Maharaj, and I can emphatically say that I really learned a lot about Maharaj's very deep insights into his heart, and I can, you know, boldly say that to me, Maharaj is, you know, he's a Mahabhadanyaya incarnate of Lord Nityananda's mercy. And because, you know, he saved, well, he's even greater than, you know, Gaur Nitya, because, you know, he saved, you know, the lowest of the low, you know, someone who's even lower than Jagan Madai, and that's, you know, that's me. And I'm eternally grateful for this mercy that Maharaj has shown to me. And I was also thinking about this fact that, you know, it's said that the spiritual master is an external manifestation of Krishna. And how Krishna, you know, has these very personal relationships with these dearmost devotees in the spiritual world. And I've never really understood this fact, but just being closely associated with Maharaj and always being there whenever he associates with some of his disciples, I have a glimpse of what it is like, you know, to be Krishna's, you know, personal associate in the spiritual world because of these very personal relationships, interactions that he has with some of these his intimate disciples. And another realization that I actually shared with some of my close friends was that I feel that this year has been a very transformative period in my life of Krishna consciousness, and that Maharaj has somehow showed some special interest in my life. You know, I've traveled with Maharaj, associated with him very closely, but somehow I've never really taken it, you know, I've never taken advantage of this opportunity, but for the first time, I somehow feel that Maharaj has taken some very special interest in my life, and giving me so much of guidance, very personal guidance, in how to move forward in my Krishna consciousness. And I'm very grateful of that, Maharaj. And on this most auspicious day of your Vyasa Puja, I pray that you may always continue to cast, you know, a merciful glance on this wretched soul. Hare Krishna.
Yeah. Yes, looking after my Khichdi, of course, is one thing. But, you know, there's so much more to look after, because how much Khichdi do I eat? A little bit. But the real thing, the bigger thing, is to take responsibility for the Krishna consciousness of others. And I know you have that capacity, and now you have, since you joined at a young age, you've been here for such a long time. Therefore, I think the time has come that you have matured and you can actually take a leading role in helping others to get stable in Krishna consciousness. Yeah, that, of course, you've done by preaching. But preaching is more than giving a talk. Preaching is by somehow or other supporting people, making relationships, and being an example, so that they can develop faith in us. So that's what I want from you, and I wish you good luck.
I got scared to speak because I felt like it's not even significant for me to talk. Because I don't feel worthy like all of you guys, and I'm not as fortunate as all of you to have association of devotees and association of gurus. So I've asked yesterday, what do they even do at a Vyasa Puja? You know, what do you do? What do you say? And people are doing offering and stuff, and I don't even know how to do that. So Chira said you could write something. And until this afternoon, I'm thinking, what am I going to write? So I just lay down there and I slept, and I woke up, and this is what came out. So, I just want to say thank you for seeing me, Maharaj.
Yeah.
So, what I mean by that is, like, you saw me first, and I didn't even see you, or neither recognize you, or the presence, or what it means for a guru, you know, disciple relationship. And for making me a part of your family and for your guidance. And because of all of you guys, I'm only, you know, inspired to wanna be, you know, like what you're doing. And for your guidance, I mean, like, I look at you and I'm like, how did you give it up all? And because you're doing it for some reason, I hope I can also be able to do and have the conviction that got you to where you are today. I am forever indebted to you for that. I know no other mercy, and through your love, and I am understanding more and more Krishna's love for me. So I don't even know, like, if it's real. Like, it's so hard for me to even preach it in Namibia because it's like out of this world. And even like the other day before you left for Cape Town, seeing you do puja to Giriraj, it's amazing. And I thought like, oh, probably in my secret home, this is like really private, it's really secret, I can be able to finally plant those two seeds that I got last year and maybe do secret puja also. So I am far from getting it. Yeah, I really don't get it. But in your eyes, I have seen that glimpse. I've seen that glimpse even with what happened last week and the love and the protection you had toward me. All these things is like cleansing off layers and layers of Maya, and I'm seeing you telling Rukmini, hug her more, because you couldn't hug me, and you know, and that just make me realize what love really is among devotees and among Vaishnavas. And every day I try to be as good as you, so hopefully somehow I can. And from your love and from seeing what you do and your dedication to the movement and Prabhupada and Krishna's work, I'm hoping somehow I can come close to what you do. Happy Vyasa Puja.
So Manikundla is from Namibia, and it's not so easy there because there's really no devotees. And she's teaching yoga. Yeah, she's doing well as a yoga teacher. She tried to convince me today to do yoga, like a good mother. Just, I really have to do yoga. Maybe I'll even do it, you know. So somehow or other, Krishna brought us together. She came to the... I met her at the BBT conference some years ago. Don't remember when, but... and then they're talking about books and about distributing books, and then she said, like, yes, I would like to distribute books, but I don't have books, right? So then I said, okay, I'll give you books. Yeah? So I did, you know, and somehow or other, she carried on in her Krishna consciousness and sometimes comes here to South Africa for some inspiration. So I'm very happy. And please, I hope you always come and somehow or other carry on with Krishna, and so many blessings will come. It's an amazing movement, and there's so much all of us don't know. You know, like, not only you, everybody is like. So. Yeah, I wish you the strength to make this spiritual life a big success. And I thank you for speaking. It was a very good offering. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Oh, your turn.
Deep, dark ignorance and blind I was born. Warming rays of knowledge and love you shone, opening my eyes and breathing life into dead senses. Unto you I offer my deepest obeisances. My dear spiritual master, you have described the spiritual master gives the disciple a vision for his life that is bigger than anything the disciple could have imagined, like white light through a prism refracting into a brilliant rainbow. I was meditating on how the pure light of your vision has filled my life with color. When I thought in first year that I should move into the temple because my parents were not devotees, you met them once and said you wanted the whole family. Having burnt my fingers in high school trying to run different societies, I wanted to avoid any BYS responsibility at all costs. You told me that we had to do something for Srila Prabhupada. Where would I be without that? I hated engineering and you wanted me to do my master's. It was pure torture, but it cold pressed out of me any hidden desire to pursue that path. What a gift. You put heart and soul into the first Soweto Rath Yatra, and we brought 125 students to the festival by very dubious means. And not one of them changed their lives to become a devotee, as far as I know. But I changed. My vision changed. The programs changed. And we could see that Africa was ready for Krishna consciousness. When I ended up in the initiation committee and stood up against my own mother's initiation in the name of justice and equality. Most people don't know about this.
Does your mother know
about
this?
No. You were fire. And you taught me that rules were made for fools to follow and wise men to be guided by. You said that the most important quality of a leader is that he is generous. What a vision to live up to. And in the dark nights of my soul, when I begged for retreat in Vrindavan, you constantly would remind me that without the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and the Sankirtan mission, we were nothing. From the very first day, you infused my life with effulgent positivity. And as I struggled and stumbled, you never lost faith in me. And even when I burnt your kurtas and crashed cars, you would tease me to death. But you always saw what I could do, as opposed to what I couldn't. This vision, this broad-minded, open-hearted kindness is the fruit of the infinite faith in the mood and mercy of Lord Chaitanya, born from a lifetime of dedication to devotional service and the pearls of surrender. Once you said that Lord Chaitanya's definition of faith was a firm conviction that from devotional service all good will come. I have that faith, you said. Do you? Sometimes I do and sometimes I don't. Once you told me that you had faith in me, and it is this faith that drives me, even if sometimes on an empty tank in a slippery road, it keeps me safe. When in Vrindavan, Krishna was showing me death at every corner and I wholly freaked out, you said, you can cry, but when I'm gone and after you dry your tears, you'll have to do something. You'll have to preach the students in South Africa to your capacity. Thus, you have given me a vision for my life much broader than I could have ever imagined. And maybe all my efforts won't match the size of a teardrop. And even if it doesn't save anyone else, at least it will save me. Because the gift of devotional service that you have given me and the faith that you fuel it with, its power and its magic is all I really have. Thank you for giving me a wonderful life. It's 7:18 a.m. and I'm rushing up the winding pathways to Srila Prabhupada's room, balancing the boga and the flowers for Giriraj. Desperately trying not to drop the vases. Trying to open that crazy gate with a fingernail on my nose. That walk sums up my whole spiritual life. Frantic, frenzy, good intentions executed in imperfection, and inevitably a shade of late. I knock on the door, unsure of what mood I would encounter for the day. And then you sit in front of Giriraj with singular attention, softly talking to Dee through the poop. Softly talking Dee through the puja and the deep significance behind each motion. You're gently singing the Mangala Charan, Guru Vandana, the Brahma Samhita, and it's clear that you are in the spiritual realm, deeply meditating. And on the floor I place all my sacred offerings, all my starred offerings. You purify them with Archman and find a way to place them around Giriraj with such precision and creativity and love. And with all my broken pieces, you create an exquisite darshan. And for me, that darshan spells hope. Thank you for being a living example, a man of integrity, the idealist who won't settle for a compromise. Thank you for accepting responsibility for Srila Prabhupada's mission and executing it with joy. If you didn't, I wouldn't think it's possible. But now, by your example, I have no excuse. Your daughter, Rukmini.
Somehow or another, we all start in spiritual life with some service, and it's basically us alone being engaged in that service. And then as time progresses, we may become not only responsible for our own spiritual progress, but also for the responsibility of others' spiritual progress. So the same happened to me. I mean, my first services was just me allowed to do some service. But now, then I became responsible for the service of others, and that has increased and increased over the years. And the more it increases, the more it rests on purity. And of course, purity is a big thing. Who can say that they have purity? But at least, if we don't have it, let it be in taking shelter of purity, of trying to be a pure follower of Srila Prabhupada, his teachings. So as that counts for me, it also counts for you. Bhakti cloud is very nice, the student preaching is very, very nice. But and people develop, you know, the plays are very nice. So as the years go by, people will develop faith in you. And you have to have the purity by taking shelter of purity, by chanting, by reading the Bhagavatam. I think that's the key for making this whole thing a success.
Hare Krishna, dear devotees. I feel very fortunate and very privileged to have heard from all of you, and just your offerings were just so heartfelt and touched our hearts as well, and I'm really grateful for that wonderful experience. So the next part of our program is that Maharaj will speak. I wonder if you want a quick break or.
It's okay. No more speakers? No?
If there are any devotees who we inadvertently missed or.
I didn't prepare a speech, but I'd like to say something.
Those devotees who would still like to speak, if you please just seat yourselves there so we know.
Yeah. The same, people should speak also.
My family, my
house. Oh, thank you.
So Lila Shakti will now speak, and she is like the mother of Rancho, who's my first disciple, who's sitting there. But he's not a public speaker, so he doesn't like to speak.
But
it's okay. So Lila Shakti is, her birthday is also on the 12th of April. We share that birthday, by the way, with Jacob Suma. So, whatever may be, you know. But for one thing, for sure, people from April 12th, have some Shakti. We will now hear from Lila Shakti.
Just one or two words. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Krishnaya Bhutale Srimati Mahavishnu Goswami Maharaj Dinamine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Krishnaya Bhutale Srimati Kadamba Kalana Maharaj Dinamine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Krishnaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Dinamine Om Jnanati Nirandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chaksur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Once upon a time, there was this little boy, and very often he would run away during the school holidays to live in the temple. And on one occasion, I invited Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj at home. And this little boy said to me, "Can I invite my friend?" And I said, "Why do you have to ask me? Invite whoever you want." And the next day, when I visited this little boy at the temple, and he said to me, I think my friend would prefer if you give him a personal invitation on your own. And I said, okay, why not? So he took me to the quarters where the males live. And he said to me, you wait here, you cannot enter there. And I said, fine. And then he returned with his friend. And can you believe my shock when I saw Maharaj approaching with this little boy? And I said to Maharaj, I was shocked. I tried to hide my bewilderment. And I said, Maharaj, Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj is coming home, and I'd like to invite you as well. And Maharaj said to me, yes, I know. And when Maharaj came home, he came with, I don't know if some of you would remember, with Sadbhush Prabhu, the Russian devotee who is late now. So my little boy, Ranchor, and I sat in the lounge. We welcomed Maharaj. And each time we questioned Maharaj on some subject matter or the other, Sadbhush Prabhu would give the answer. And after some time, Maharaj turned around and said, as soon as Sadbhush was going to give an answer, Maharaj says, 1 minute. And I could see the potency in Maharaj by just 2 words, the potency that came out of Maharaj. And Sadbhush was quiet for the rest of the afternoon. So what I'm going to tell you is that my meeting with Maharaj on that day was my good fortune. But unfortunately, Maharaj, I don't do much service. And by listening to all of y'all, I'm quite embarrassed. Although it was my good fortune of meeting Maharaj, but I don't make use of that good fortune. But thank you, Maharaj, for taking Ranchor and his family under your broad wing and being so tolerant and trying to allow them to progress in the service. Thank you very much. And please forgive me and my family for all our shortcomings. Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Happy Vyasa Puja.
Okay.
Thank you very much. And you also, a happy birthday. I guess you're going to come. Say something.
Cold feet.
That's a little warm on that, okay?
Can we move my last spot?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Happy Vyasa Puja. I'm super unprepared, so let's try to speak something. I was just thinking about whenever they speak about the guru and disciple relationship, it's always emphasized the point of connection, the connection between guru and disciple. So many of your disciples consider me to be your disciple somehow because of the connection that we have over the years. And this morning I was just thinking about, you know, when I first came to Krishna consciousness, I was about 16, younger than you. So I was in Bofikeg. It's very isolated in the Bundus, and it was just pretty much me. And the only time I'd meet devotees was over the weekend. So for the whole week, all I had was just your kirtans. And the time I'd never met you as yet, you know, so because I had a recording studio in my room, so I'd play the kirtans to my friends. And they used to say, you know, we're not into your Indian stuff, but definitely the guy who's singing, he's a good musician. So, So I've always felt that the connection that I had with you from the beginning, even before I met you, was through your kirtans, and they really kept me going when no one was there. And fast forward, I remember the first time that when I met you, I remember you're playing these big wampas. So you're leading Guru Puja in Shishi Radharanath Temple, you know. So generally black people, sorry to say that, our perception of white people is that they cannot dance. It is offbeat. So I remember that so much. I mean, I could say he was the first white person I saw singing and who can dance at the time he was playing big wompas. And it sounds like he's, what are those symbols? What's going on there? But so definitely. So anyway, I know I'm all over the place because I'm unprepared, but I know it's for my purification. And I just want to say that I appreciate our friendship. And like I said earlier, many devotees tend to think that I'm your disciple. And I get that a lot when I'm in Mayapur, because you get many disciples of Maharaj from different parts of the world. And when they see me, they'll ask me, when is Guru Maharaj coming? You know? And then I'll just, maybe that time they know that Maharaj is coming. And then I'll be there. Devamrita Maharaj, I'm Devamrita Maharaj's disciple. So he may not, maybe he was not scheduled to come. And I'll say, no, he's not coming this year. And they all like look shocked, you know, no, but we heard he's coming, you know. I said, no, he's not coming. But earlier, I realized, I learned how to play the game. When devotees approach me, most of the time I know they Maharaj's disciples, and I just play along. So from now on, Maharaj's disciples. just one funny thing I just thought now. His Holiness Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj recently said that the Indian community, they call him an honorary Indian. So from today, I'd like to say Maharaj is an honorary African.
It's a nice birthday gift.
So we started with a sing and we'll end with a sing. Hare Krishna Maharaj. We all survive on mercy. Mercy from the devotees and mercy from the Lord. So I stand here today feeling very special for so many reasons, but most especially because I am part of your family. I know it's Srila Prabhupada's family, but I feel more like a daughter than a niece. But sentimentality aside, Maharaj, you so easily share your mercy with our family. From performing my nephew's grain ceremony 16 years ago, to giving Sandini invaluable advice when she moved cities, to giving shelter to our whole family, to speaking at Ramapriya's Haradi ceremony. I must admit, you took us by surprise by speaking directly to her and advising her in such detail on how to live successfully in Grihastha Ashram, and then giving her Bhumi Devi a few days later with such an amazing sign of how the Lord reciprocates with you in an obvious way. Since that lecture, I've also got a Bhumi Devi on my dresser and lovingly glance at her every morning, trying to follow and live by your guidelines. I know that I only say this once a year, but I say this wholeheartedly. I am deeply grateful to you, Maharaj, for your mercy, your shelter, and your protection and your guiding hand. Thank you.
Hare
Krishna, Maharaj. So I was too scared to speak, so I didn't prepare anything. But then I sat there in the corner, looking around, and I was thinking, how did I end up here? All my life I felt like I've never fitted anywhere. But in this room filled with oh my God, brothers and sisters, I feel so at home. So then I was thinking back about how I first met you. With crazy Rukmini dragging me to Cape Town for books. And I ended up in one of your kirtans. And from the time you started singing, I cried the whole kirtan. I'm wondering, why did Rukmini bring me here? What is Maharaj going to do to me? And in that lecture, you answered all of my questions before I even asked it to you. And when I approached you, you said, let's be friends. And I realized that I don't ever have a friend, a true friend, until I met you. So Maharaj, today I was thinking what to get you for your Vyasa Puja, what could I possibly give to you? And I couldn't come up with anything, so Maharaj, I offer you my life.
Yeah, it's like she went to study medicine in China, which is not easy, obviously, you know. I learned Chinese, so when I met her and she spoke Chinese, I mean, I was sort of impressed, you know, thinking, wow. That's something these days, as the world is getting more Chinese influence. So it's a special gift from Krishna. So I hope you'll always be kind to the Chinese. Somehow or not, since you can talk to them, that's a blessing. And well, then re-entering into South Africa as a doctor wasn't so easy, but it worked, and she is now in some village somewhere in the Eastern Cape. I forgot the name of the village. It's Isa something. Yeah, lots of eyes. Isa. One of those names. Whatever it was. So she's there. And recently took initiation. And which is now really a way forward. You are really now a member of this family. So very welcome. And so I should speak now? Or is there someone that we forgot? What I was thinking is just a moment. I have a few verses about Vrindavan, and it's just a description of Vrindavan, and I like to read this sometimes. Many greedy men will wait at a rich man's doorstep, hoping to meet him and benefit hundreds and thousands of time over. In the same way, the Yamuna flows in a very winding course, greedy to get some of the wealth of the Vrindavan forest. The dark nectar current of the Yamuna picks up Lord Krishna and plunges him and his gopi friends in the dark nectar of transcendental amorous pastimes. Many charming aquatic creatures, plunged in the nectar of love for Krishna again and again, push their heads above the Yamuna waters, hoping for a glimpse of Lord Shyam. On the Yamuna's beautiful shores are jewel staircases which are like the teeth of the goddess of beauty and which remind one of Sri Krishna. When they drink the sound of Krishna's flute, these two jewel staircases melt with love and the river between them becomes solid and stunned with ecstasy. In the moonlight, the Yamuna beaches appear to be made of camphor sand. Lord Krishna has Ras Lila on these beaches, with each place bearing the name of a particular pastime. In the clearings of the splendid groves by the Yamuna shore, birds fly here and there, yearning for a glimpse of Lord Govinda. Everywhere in Vrindavan, on the Yamuna shores, are trees that are like the Lord's incarnation, that give the gift of pure love and that make one remember the Lord, making he who is the moon of Raja suddenly rise within the heart. Sometimes Yamuna flows with the color of liquid sapphires. Sometimes she stops flowing and becomes the color of emerald fields. When the flute sounds, she makes no noise, but water and place spread auspiciousness for serving the Lord. So, my spiritual life began in Vrindavan. I used to sit in the Yamuna with my beads floating in the water, chanting japa. And I'd see the aquatics popping their heads, the turtles, above the water. And I saw how some young boys with cows and buffaloes would cross the Yamuna and stand on the back of the buffalo while crossing the water. And it was so easy to think of Krishna. It was so completely natural to think of Krishna. So this gift of Vrindavan became deeply ingrained within my heart. This gift was something most precious, which has stayed with me. Somehow or other, I joined in Vrindavan. I lived in Vrindavan, and I take it like that. Vrindavan is my home. South Africa almost, but not quite. How could it be? So, just as Srila Prabhupada went to the West and in New York City was saying that I've come to this terrible place. He's saying terrible place. And he said, I come from such a nice place. Vrindavan. And yes, we all come from that very nice place, Vrindavan. And we all wish to return there. We all wish to maybe a little bit of that has been awoken in us, and I pray that that may become deeper. One of my disciples once said, I don't know if I want to go to Vrindavan. I don't know anybody there. You know Krishna. Krishna is not far away. Krishna is close. We are intimate with Krishna. Krishna, anyone who is doing service for Krishna, Krishna will not forsake that person. Krishna has noted our service. Krishna, so today, Krishna is the center of this whole function. It is Krishna who is the our function today is relatively small because I'm doing the big public celebration in Radhadesh. But it doesn't matter, because whether it's the small gathering or a major gathering, a lot has been said about me. On days like this, I get the attention, and that is Krishna's kindness, because he gives credit to his devotees. Krishna somehow or other gives credit and allows his devotees to be in the limelight. But the truth is that Krishna is the one who deserves all the credit. And so this evening, I want to just remember Lord Krishna and his Vrindavan, and of course his pure devotees. Oh Krishna, Krishna, oh, over that hill. When Krishna is lifting Govardhan Hill, then not only is everyone staying high and dry for 7 days, you know, but actually inside the hill there is also a cave. And it is described by Jiva Goswami how all the devotees go in that cave and have lots of pastimes. So it's not like boring. There's a lot of interesting things happening as well. So the pastimes of Krishna are never dry. Pastimes of Krishna are very rich. Srila Prabhupada was translating the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam quite early, before finishing the Bhagavatam, and compiling, summarizing that in the Krishna book. That Krishna book is very important. But we'll take inside the silence, yes? So, we'll be done soon. Because I spoke a lot in drips and drabs. So I don't need to get a long lecture. But before we all flood out, though, I'll say a few words. It's kind of special, that waterfall between you and me. This is different. We're on the other side of the curtain. Come! On this side of the waterfall, there is a whole magical world. The whole magical world is in love. Come and see the world of Krishna, where Krishna is the center. Let us come to this spiritual world. Not at the end of our life. It is now. It is now that we are meant to enter. We cannot wait and just live an ordinary life like other people in the world, but chant 16 rounds and follow 4 regulated principles. No. We have to enter Vrindavan now. So, Prabhupada made it easy. Just read the Krishna book. On that day of your daughter's Hardy ceremony, I spoke from the Krishna book. First, and then I gave lots of practical advice because I once was a married man. And I remember our Sunil Mohan said, "I didn't know you knew that much about marriage." And I said, "That was interesting." Anyhow, we are together in this spiritual life. My interest is Krishna. As I said, other things, it's just temporary glitter. There's so much glitter, but it's all temporary glitter. So, really, really be enamored by that. As Prabhupada would say, decorations of a dead body, that the essence is missing. I've seen amazing things. I was in Washington for the 4th of July, which is a national independence day and so on. And the Americans, they made with fireworks. They did a firework display and they made an American flag in the sky. Now, only Americans can do such a thing. I don't know how much it cost that, but that must have been millions of dollars. But they did. So they can do such things. And it was impressive, but so the glitter in the world can be impressive sometimes. People can do amazing things. But where's the substance? It has no real meaning. So our relationship is centering around substance, right? About real meaning. We are aiming to achieve real, lasting benefits in our life, not temporary glitter. And that's the purpose of what we are doing this evening, to go deeper in that eternal relationship with Krishna, and to appreciate that somehow or other there are, it is said that there are innumerable living entities in the spiritual world, and there's a couple of us who just like raindrops fell down to the material world, and here we are, and now we sort of got lost, and we fell into a deep sleep, and were dreaming dreams of illusion. The funny thing is that sometimes you have sometimes one may have an intense dream. I have also sometimes had intense dreams, and when you wake up from an intense dream, even when you wake up, you're still not completely back to normal reality. You carry a bit with you from the dream. If you were being chased the whole night, I would get dreams sometimes like that. I was on the run the whole night, and they were chasing me. And even if I would wake up in the middle of the night and go back to sleep, then again, it's like part two. How long is this going to go on for? I was just being chased. In one dream, they even caught me at the end, and they tied me on the Ratiyatra cart. And then in the end, they set fire to the cart. And then I was thinking, now I'm going to wake up. Right? Because, just before you die, you wake up, right? So it's thinking, now I'm going to wake up. And it didn't wake up. And it burned, And I go, I was having a bit of fever at the time. I burned, right? And I go, but this is ridiculous. I should have woken up. Anyway, so. But when you have some intense dream, or some dream, the dream still influences you while you are awake. So in spiritual life, we are like that. We were dreaming in a world of Maya. Then, by the mercy that Srila Prabhupada brought to the West and that his followers distributed as white as they could, somehow or other that mercy reached us. How? What have we done that it came to us? Don't ask me, but it came in our lives. And it woke us up. Right? And here we are, but still a little bit half-dreaming. And that is our spiritual life. If we would be fully awake, we would be fully awake to Krishna, and to Vrindavan, and to this whole, and to the sweetness of the spiritual exchanges between Krishna and his devotees. And why would we even think about the material world? The Uttama Adhikari just thinks about the spiritual world. Constantly thinks about Krishna, and then does something in the material world. Yes, and that's what it means, comes down to the Madhyama Adhikari platform. If he would stay in the Uttama Adhikari platform, he would only think of the spiritual world. But he comes down sometimes to the Madhyama Adhikari platform to deal with the material world, and to sort of do something for the benefit of others. So we see this in Srila Prabhupada and in other great personalities. I wrote on my website long ago, but I still stand by it, that I'm not a great personality. but I am a follower of great teachers. Yeah? And as long as I'm that, then I can also maybe say something of use and make some useful contribution. So, but let us all see that the purpose of this relationship, the relationship we have with each other, is to get more absorbed in Krishna. So let us make some time for Krishna. You know, we never have time. This is the modern world, and one disease of the modern world is no time. Time is so important in now, in this the world we live in. You know, what time is it? You know, 7 to 8, 7. It's not, it's 20 to 7. It's 20 to 7, yeah, okay. I mean, almost 20, almost 19 to 7. All right, so we think of time, we think of schedules, we live like that. We have exact appointments. You know, when I used to live in India, you know, you say, okay, when will we meet? You know, Kal, tomorrow. What time? Sumit, in the morning, you know, in the morning, Santa. And morning can be sort of, it's flexible, you know, it's sometime in the morning. There's either you meet in the morning, noon, or evening, right? And noon starts anywhere from 11 to 3, or, you know, whatever. It's flexible. Because there was not that urgency that we have in where time is money and where everyone has to just live a fast life. So there was time. Time to talk, time to hear. And when you go to a village, I don't know how you, I'm a city person myself, and when you go to a village, it looks like people speak slow, move slow. Have you also noticed that village people, they take a long time to make a point? You go, okay, get to the point, you know, what are you trying to say? Yeah. I mean, city life, fast. But let us for once take the time, and just read about Krishna. The simple, whether it's the Krishna book or whether we go into the Bhagavatam, or the nature of devotion. And I was very happy, Nash, when I heard you gave a talk and that you spoke of the nature of devotion. Well, at least my book had some use. That's right. I'm happy that all of you are here. Not everyone spoke, but that you all came, you know, and that counts. Ranshaw is my first disciple. He's sitting there. I did the yajna, and I remember as I did the yajna, it all went well, except in the beginning as I lit the fire, I burnt my fingers. I guess I was new at it, you know. Now I've learned not to burn my fingers anymore. But time has moved along. I started with Krishna consciousness when I was 24, and now I'm 65. So time has moved along. And so that is the material world. We have no time. We have to make time for Krishna, and time is moving along. I think with Ranjit, was it in 2001? It's been 17 years, I think. So that's also That's a long time. Now he has two children, then family and all these things. And I have gray hairs. So, yeah. And so time is moving along. So let us make good use of our time. That is the other thing, you know. I thank you for blessing me and praying for my long life. That will be good because I still have many ideas of what I could be doing. So long life would be handy. But at the same time, as George Harrison said, that all things must pass in this world. So let us all make good use of our time, somehow or other. In the Nectar of Devotion, it says that actually most of the, normally, Rupa Goswami says, spiritual life is a continuation from last life. So if spiritual life is a continuation from last life, I was thinking, that means that we didn't make it. Yeah? You know, we can go, who were you in your last life? And you can go to some astrologer in India and he can tell you, you know, you were a great king in Orissa and whatever. But what went wrong on the way to heaven? Yeah? That we took birth again. So, the purpose of being here this evening is that we all become a little more stronger in our resolve to say, let this be the last time. Let this life be the life that we go back to Godhead. All right, we all got our baggage. And who doesn't have baggage? Everybody has baggage. I mean, some personal issues, some personal... No one... It's like new shoes, you know. There's no thing as the perfect fit, you know. It sort of takes a little while before it really, you know, your feet get used to it and it sort of adjusts a bit. Spiritual life. All of us have our limitations in being pure devotees. And we all encounter that in our spiritual practices. We all encounter these limitations. But one thing is that we do not have to be perfect. We do not have to be perfect in our performance. Because this is the unique movement of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. So, as Prabhupada said, as Jayapatakabharata explains, Prabhupada was seated on a Vyasasana on a raised platform and it had several steps going down. So Prabhupada gave a lecture and in the lecture he spoke about how we really have to be more serious and how we just have to give 100%. And he said, otherwise, how can we expect to go back to Godhead if we don't give 100%? And then the mood became a little heavy, you know, because everyone felt like, oh my God, you know, we can't give 100%, so we're never going to make it. So then Prabhupada stood up, and he took one step down. He took one step down from the Vyasasana and he said, anyway, 90% will do. Then he took another step down. He said, 80% will do. One more step down, 70% will do. And there's some debate whether he said ended at 70 or 60. You know, different devotees remember it in a different way. But I'm sure that 60 will go in the end, even if he said 70. But Prabhupada then ended it, and he took his chadar, and he just threw it over his shoulder
and walked away.
So, therefore, this is the movement of hope. And because of that hope, we should try and give it our best. We should give it our best, knowing that maybe we are not doing the greatest, but it is still is enough. So, it is my prayer that all of you go back to Godhead this lifetime. It is not my prayer to you, it is my prayer to Krishna and to Lord Chaitanya and to Prabhupada. I'm praying that somehow or other you may go back to Godhead. Then all I'm asking you is this cooperation. Yesterday was beautiful weather. Now is a blessing. Part of the celebration. Awful. I think everyone's still dry. So, it is my desire, my prayer, my hope, that you all go back to Godhead. But if you don't, I'll make some arrangements for you. And although Srila Prabhupada wrote in a letter that spiritual master comes back, I forgot who said that, but spiritual master comes back. Navita. That spiritual master comes back to save the disciple. Yet either that, or he'll send an agent. Just like in my life, somehow or other, if I'm one of those devotees who didn't make it in the last life, and this life my spiritual master sent me a dog by the name of Krishna, so that brought me back to the past. So somehow or other, we'll make arrangements or come in person. Yes, let us all go back to Godhead. And why not this way? But we must make an effort to embrace purity. Okay? That we have to do. And that may be sometimes difficult, I know, but still, that is what we must do. Okay. I think the rain is telling us that we should move inside and get to the next part, because the tent is flooding now. So, we'll all go inside when you're ready for that. So, 2 minutes. So put your life vests on and get ready to jump ship. We will I'm not worried about it, a little water. And in case I'm not a drop, you know. But, so the shoes, we can park in the ground spot in London. Anyway, so that is my point. It's sort of the rain drowns out the climax a little bit. But basically, to summarize it one more time, I begin my talk with a description of Vrindavan, and somehow or other, Krishna took me to Vrindavan this life, and it's there where I grew up in spiritual life, and it's from there that I became deeply inspired, and it's from there, and it's to Vrindavan that we all want to go, and let us do it this lifetime, and let us stick together, because together we'll be stronger, alone we'll encounter difficulties. So let's help each other, let my disciples be friends with each other, let us appreciate each other and other Vaishnavas, and in this way we find the shelter from from this material world, life after life, we get caught in all kinds of situations. So, back to Godhead is the motto, and I think it looks sort of ready to go inside. I think we'll just go because the tent is really coming to the end. So, thank you very much for being here, and the rest we'll talk informally inside. Yeah, ready to go. Hare Krishna. I'll do it inside. Is it? Yeah. Yeah.